Welcome back to Cognac Conspiracies. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jade.
Wonderful. It's your week.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm so excited. This is like a rare, not a rarity, but I haven't been this excited in a long time.
Yet, right, because so. I know what you're doing, and yeah. I'm excited for it as well.
I'm very excited.
So, yeah.
Okay, so if you don't know, well, you probably don't, but today we're going to talk about Alexis Crawford. And basically, if you haven't heard this before, the story of Alexis Crawford, she was a North Carolina A&T student, and she basically went missing. And I really wanted to do this episode because I actually remembered the day when Alexis Crawford went missing. Mm-hmm. I actually lived in Atlanta for a little while. I know a lot of people who went to college in Atlanta and moved to Atlanta like in adulthood. So the day Alexis actually went missing, like my social media as well was just plummeted with pictures of Alexis Crawford. Mm-hmm. So when I don't even know how I even found this or remembered it, but when I had looked it up, I just instantly remembered her face, and I was like, I have to do this. Like, I have to do this episode. Mm-hmm. So, a little background on Alexis. So, like we said before, her name was Alexis Crawford, and she was 21 years old, and she was a senior at Clark Atlanta University. She was studying criminal justice, and Alexis came from a really large family. She was really close to her parents, and she was one of 10 children.
Damn.
So during her senior year,
in this economy,
I'm hip. People rarely have those type of kids because they're no longer on farms. But I know, like, my dad has like 7 siblings.
So is my mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, it was like a farm, like a southern thing. But like, yeah, you rarely hear
also
that
from Memphis. So you
know. My dad's from like someplace in North Carolina, but you rarely hear these types of things nowadays. Mm-hmm. But during her senior year, like most college seniors, she actually lived off campus. She got herself a little apartment. And she lived there with her best friend, Jordan Jones. Mm. So her and Jordan were really close. They actually were almost like family. Not, I want to say like, I guess, I don't want to say family friend. But you know, like when I was in college, I had very few college friends that I actually were close enough to even meet my family. Because they're not like actively there with you. Versus Jordan was someone who was so close to Alexis. She had actually met her family countless times. And I guess I was like a light family friend. Like a, you know what I mean? Like she was someone that I guess over time would have been at her wedding and things like that and would have became like a close like part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
Yeah. Seemed great and normal between these two roommates. As far as I could see, they were basically typical like college besties. They took pictures together for Instagram. They went to brunch. And you know, that's exactly how I looked during college with my roommate.
Mm-hmm.
But everything changed on November 1st, 2019, Halloween weekend, as many college students know it.
It was Halloween weekend?
Yes, yes it was. I didn't know that either, but yeah. It actually was.
Okay.
Because this is the day that Alexis Crawford went missing.
Mm-hmm.
So she was reported missing by her family again on November 1st after she didn't show up for class or work. As well as her mother actually spoke to her on a regular basis, and it wasn't like her to stay out of contact this long. So Alexis was last seen on October 30th of 2019 when her roommate, Jordan Jones, took her to the liquor store.
So wasn't there a video?
Yes, there's a
video.
Well,
let me stop.
No, okay, no, I mean, that's like really like, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like a spoiler because that is known. So her last place being seen is the liquor store that Jordan Jones had driven her to. Mm-hmm. And there's video of her all up and down this liquor store. So that's a fact.
Yeah.
She was in the liquor store on October 30th, 2019.
Uh-huh.
So when questioned, so Jordan Jones, she was asked what basically happened after the liquor store. Their roommate, she drove her. We're assuming she drove her back home that night. So what happened between then, the liquor store, and coming back home? And she said that she actually returned to the apartment and then she went to sleep immediately after coming from the liquor store. And she does not remember or know where Alexis went. She just woke up and Alexis was gone.
Jordan said this. Her roommate.
Yes, her roommate said this. Jordan also told police that she didn't have any knowledge specifically of where Jordan had gone, which is unusual, but she didn't know this because her and Alexis were not on speaking terms at that moment.
Okay.
So they weren't on good terms. Yeah. So Alexis' family was super distraught when they found out the news because it's literally like she vanished out of thin air. Her wallet and phone were missing, as well as she hadn't told anybody. So like you know, like sometimes people go on dates, they get murdered or... Like, I just heard a Crime Junkie episode where the woman went to the bar and she got lost and someone took advantage of her. But basically, like, nobody knew anything. They didn't know anything about what had happened in Jordan. And because of this, like, you know, it's 2019 and people blew it up on social media. So Alexis's story really went viral almost and her photo was everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I remember this.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So something that I also remember about when it went viral on like the internet is, I guess because it's college and things, people started to, I guess people from Atlanta started to reveal things about Alexis. So it quickly came out before even the trial, not trial, but before
law enforcement.
Yeah, before law enforcement got involved. It even came out that Jordan was her roommate. So people mm-hmm. who went to Atlanta quickly started adding Jordan. And it became kind of viral, and people were like, hey, Jordan, like, where's your roommate? Because she's last in the liquor store, she goes home with you, but you don't know where she is, or do you even know if she got back in the apartment? Like, you don't know anything. And people started really, like, pounding, like, Jordan's DMs and her mentions, asking her, where the hell is your roommate? Mm-hmm. And as a rebuttal, Jordan actually posted on her Instagram, Alexis missing person flyer, and she even said this statement. She said, this is obviously a difficult time for me, and I just feel helpless. My heart is really hurting right now. The fact that y'all are telling everyone to blow up my DMs is beyond childish. How about y'all put that same energy into harassing, that same energy y'all put into harassing me into finding my friend?
You first.
So she didn't like that attention. She didn't like that attention. Okay. So basically, so as police started to investigate the Alexis disappearance, things started to come out. So one of the main key details that came out is that on October 26th of 2019, police were actually called to the off-campus apartment of Alexis and Jordan. Mm-hmm. So Jordan Jones called the police because her boyfriend, Baron Brantley, had allegedly stolen her car and sexually assaulted Alexis. So that night was actually homecoming, and all three of them went out to drink. Mm-hmm. And when they came back to the apartment, Jordan allegedly went to sleep immediately after drinking, and she woke up, like, in the middle of the night, like, early morning, and she went to the bathroom to find her boyfriend. So she's going all about the apartment to find Baron, and she goes to the bathroom, and the door was locked. So she knocked on the door, and immediately Baron ran out the bathroom, saying he had not raped Alexis. And as he literally declared he had not raped her as he ran out of the bathroom. And as she looked further into the bathroom, Jordan saw Alexis unconscious on the floor with some of her clothes were missing, as well as her underwear was found ripped. So as soon as...
The fuck?
Yeah, as soon as she opened the door, Baron ran out of the apartment, and he actually stole Alexis's keys. Not Alexis's keys. He stole Jordan's keys, took Jordan's car, and Jordan called the police. Alexis told them that basically, so after all the drinking, she went to the bathroom, and that's when Baron followed her, and he tried to kiss her on her neck as well as touch her, and I guess he had said that he had mistaken her for Jordan, but he had made, like, serious advances for her, and then after this, she had actually blacked out, so she didn't recall any other details of what happened, like, once she was in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So the next day, Alexis actually went to the hospital to get a rape kit. And Jordan did come to the hospital with her, and she stayed with Alexis the whole time as she faced this horrible ordeal. So mm-hmm. she basically came with her to maybe face the fact that her own boyfriend had raped her
best friend. Had raped her best friend. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So after that, I don't know, like, it doesn't say what exactly happened. Well, I feel like this enough could cause tension between them, because I guess if you're, like, young and clouded by the judgment of your boyfriend, then maybe you, like, I don't know, would want to, like, defend your boyfriend or something. But basically, after this happened, they were not on speaking terms.
But that, I mean, whatever. I don't get it, but hey.
Yeah, so, like I said, I don't know what exactly transpired after this, but they weren't on speaking terms after this happened. Mm-hmm. And on campus, Alexis had told many people that she no longer felt comfortable in that apartment after what had transpired.
Well, yeah, because especially if, like, imagine if, okay, all this happens and your boyfriend follows me into the bathroom and rapes me, potentially, who knows, waiting for the evidence from the rape kit. Mm-hmm. And you're still having your boyfriend over and doing this and, you know, acting like he's a regular boyfriend who everything's cool. Yeah, I wouldn't feel comfortable there either.
And that's enough to fight
that's
about.
That's crazy.
And that's enough to throw him
because, like, honestly, I would.
If we're literally waiting for, like, DNA evidence that your fucking boyfriend, like, raped me, like, if you bring him up in this house again, like, it's on site. Like, with a knife. Like, it's on site. Like, it's not going to be hands. Like,
that's crazy. I wouldn't feel comfortable either. The least you could do is go to his house. And even then, I wouldn't feel comfortable because I'd be like, what the fuck type of person are you that this nigga literally raped me? And you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go to that nigga's house and lay up and do kissy on Halloween weekend. Like, the fuck?
Exactly. So, once again, to put it more into perspective, so to recap, so all of this took place, actually, I think I said it, but on October 26th is when they went out drinking, and October 27th is when Jordan found Baron and Alexis in the bathroom, and Jordan called the police. Mm-hmm. And then, I guess because it was, like, early in the morning, then, I guess, during the day is when Alexis went and got the rape kit done. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, on the 30th, when she was last seen, she's like, oh, we're not on speaking terms. I'm assuming they were not on speaking terms because of the events that had transpired, like, on the 26th.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Exactly. So then, so
her boyfriend probably got in her ear.
And that's exactly
why they weren't talking and things like that.
Yeah, we can talk about the opinions we have, because a part of me, I think maybe we'll talk about, but I think I left out, I wanted to really talk about just Alexis' case, and we can talk about Baron a little bit more, but there's, we'll see how much time we have, but there's a bit more to him that I didn't specifically put in this episode, but if anyone wants to look up, like, Baron's past,
he does have like a rap sheet?
Yeah, he does have a criminal past, so I didn't really put it in there, because I just wanted to be about Alexis and, you know, do her due justice, but he really does have a criminal record to him, and okay. If we have time, you know, we can talk about it at the end, or add a little ad lib about it, but it wasn't in my original podcast.
Okay.
Anyways, so to put us back on the timeline, on October 30th is when Alexis was last seen at the liquor store. And on November 1st is when she went missing. Mm-hmm. So after countless searches and all these social media posts, 7 days later, Alexis's body was actually found in a park in DeKalb County, Georgia. Mm-hmm. When police looked at the body and the whole investigation was done, she actually had died of asphyxiation, and if you listen to this podcast or any other crime podcast, you know that's like choking or lack of air. Or anything. Strangulation. You did anything to, right, stop air from getting from the lungs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And fun fact. Well, I hate saying fun fact, but you may be like, well, how
not so fun fact.
It's not really fun, but yeah. I mean, for true crime people, it's kind of interesting. But you may be like, well, how did they find the body? Like,
How did they find it?
So I've never heard this before in all of my true crime days. So police actually found the body because someone led them to it. And that person was no other than Jordan Jones. So her roommate led them.
So she felt guilty, huh?
Actually, I don't think she did.
So why would she do
that? And I'm gonna tell you why. We're gonna get to it. But I don't think she did feel guilty. So after being questioned, basically Jordan decided it was time to tell the truth. But I do think there are more compelling reasons why she told the truth. I don't think she really was going to tell the truth.
Okay.
And I don't know if police did, like, some type of, like, you know how police have, like, great interrogation tactics?
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. They basically somehow brought her father in, and her and her father together went and found the body and showed police the body.
What the fuck?
But that's kind of like the on the Netflix thing, like the perfect neighbor. What's it called? You know what I mean? The family murder that's the Netflix.
Chris Watts.
They got his dad is a really cracked dude. He didn't unravel his truth till his dad came in. No, he didn't tell his dad the whole truth, but things cracked when his dad came. So I think
But he told his dad that. Quick side about the Chris Watts murder. He told his dad that. What's her name? Janaine, that she killed him and then he killed her.
But it started to unravel. Like, his story started to differentiate from what he was telling police. Because he was like, I have no idea where the kids are. I have no idea. I think they probably did the same thing with Jordan. They brought her dad in. And I think people feel like their parents are like their confidant and their safety. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize the cameras are rolling. And they just start, you know, going off the mouth about what they had done.
Facts.
So at the end of the day, like, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine my kids at college and I get the call and I'm like, okay, we're going to lead to a body. You know what I mean? Like, that's insane. Like,
I would fucking, bro.
I, like.
What kid?
That would really be my parents, though. That would really be my parents. The minute they got the call from prison, it could have been a traffic stop. They're gone.
Well, no, not a traffic stop, but you're like a whole murderer?
No.
Like, I can't.
A body.
I can't do this.
I cannot imagine you. Like, just thinking about the act to dig a hole, bury your body, and
go back to the apartment, and everybody's looking for this young girl, and she was your friend, and they probably knew the girl.
Yeah, you posted the missing picture. You posted the missing post. Bitch. For the girl you buried. You were out here posting pictures for the girl you murdered.
They'd be like, your daughter? I'd be like, my daughter. What daughter?
Who?
Who? daughter. I don't have one of those. Hey, I don't have a daughter.
The fuck? A what?
Because it's not the same as if, like, say, for example, somebody, because, I mean, daughter, son, brother, sister, mother, whatever, parent, it doesn't matter. Like, it's certain things you can forgive, and then there's certain things that's like, what's good with you? Like, for real. Like, if my kid, if I got a call and they were like, hey, your child's going to be in jail for 5 years for armed robbery or something like that, I think that's something I could forgive and try to work with. But if you literally murdered a young girl after your boyfriend raped her, dug a hole, dropped the body, faked about it for a whole week after the fact, I don't know if that's something that I could... I don't have kids. People got different love for their kids. They got a different type of love for their kids. But it's just like, that's something that I feel like is a little, it's unforgivable.
Yeah.
I don't know about
that. I don't have kids, so I can't really speak on it. Personally. Yeah. But I do think that if that ever happened, I would, like how her father, like, walked her, like made her walk, like, you know, kind of like help with the police. I think I would do the same shit, like, honest to God. Like, if my kid murdered someone, because, like, that's some shit I'm just not rocking with. Like, if my kid really murdered someone, like, I have the same opinion as most black people about police, but that's where I draw the line. Like, I'm not going to protect my child and murder. Dead ass. Unless, like, that person that killed grandma or something, and there was, like, some personal beef. Like, if you were just out here slaughtering people for the hell of it, like, for sport, I damn sure will help you help the police lead your them to the body, because that's ridiculous. Like, especially over some guy, I literally right here, officer.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But now that we know that Alexis' body has been found, we can talk about the details of the alleged murder. So basically, upon questioning both Jordan and Baron, the details of the murder began to come to light. So on October 27th, the day Alexis went and got the rape kit performed, I guess as soon as they got back, Jordan actually snuck Baron back into the apartment. And Baron hid in the apartment for 4 days, unknown to Alexis, until October 30th. And that is the day when Alexis was last seen at the liquor store. So sometime between them coming back from the liquor store, Jordan and Alexis got into a physical altercation, and they basically began to, like, fight, like a fist fight. And this prompted Baron Brantley to basically jump out the room and help his girlfriend Jordan fight Alexis. Okay. So when he jumped out, he actually started to choke Alexis. And according to Baron, when he was choking Alexis, she was still alive. But he says, in some rage or whatever, that Jordan basically went crazy and she got a black trash bag and she put it over Alexis' head. And this is what actually killed Alexis. So Brantley
says, that's what he says.
Yeah, so Brantley says that he actually is not Alexis's murderer. He was choking her, I guess, but that's where I'd be like, whatever. Because you would choke to do what? Choking for what? Because apparently he was choking to subdue her and she was going to live or whatever, or to break up the fight. And when Jordan jumped in, that is when Jordan grabbed the bag and choked her. And that is what ultimately led to Alexis' death. And Baron's trying to say, but, like, if you're choking to kill, nobody chokes to, like, you choke to kill. Come on.
Yeah, facts. Because I'm like, if I'm choking somebody, I mean, that's not, I'm not, like, we, like.
Exactly.
What are we doing this for?
Exactly. I'm not going to choke and release you and be like, okay, well, now that you've settled down. Like, that's not it. Like, punching is one thing, but choking, you don't choke. That's not it. Yeah.
Oh, chill. I honestly don't, but quick sidebar, I don't believe him.
You don't feel like, wow.
Okay. No, I don't, because I feel like that's a very easy thing to say to kind of like push the blame off of yourself and push it onto somebody else.
Yeah.
So it's very easy for him to say, like, oh, yeah, I was choking her, but the final blow was from sis over here. I don't believe that.
I will say that I don't think, from my research, I don't think Jordan ever gave, like, a formal statement.
Probably because her lawyers were fucking smart.
Exactly. So I couldn't find a statement where Jordan actually, like, word for word, like, plays out the murder. Like, the only, I guess, details we have of, like, there's some details from a security camera, but whatever happened inside the apartment is all Brantley's, like, words and saying. And I do think, in my opinion, like from just what we've already said, I do think that both of them did play a part in it. Mm-hmm. But I just think that as someone who never had a criminal record, to grab the bag and choke her, I feel like if he was already...
Why don't you even think that?
I feel like he's already strangling her, right? For him to be like, go get the bag. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Like maybe she actually was one who put the bag over her head and was the actual killer. But that'd be the last thing in my mind to be like, oh, go get a trash bag and let's go choke this. Like, that's why. I mean, you don't really know people till you know them, so.
That's wild as shit. Mm-hmm. That's very wild.
It's wild. But, so yeah, so that's what happened. And then once Alexis was, I guess, dead, or once they thought she was dead, Brantley went from room to room and he cleaned up the blood from the fight they had earlier. So they had really been fighting because there was actually blood to clean up and they cleaned it up. And again, like we said, like that is kind of like because whenever
you murder somebody in like a sloppy type of way, like you're not gonna get away with it. And if you did get away with it, I feel like it's like a less than 1% chance. Because I'm telling yo, if you listen to true crime, watch true crime, you have to know in order to get away with a murder, you have to, especially a murder of someone you know. You have to have your P's and Q's together. That's be super premeditated. It has to be
like a year.
Yeah, exactly. You got to think of all the things you're going to do, all the ways you're going to clean it up. Work all there. All the shoes. Put on a different shoe size.
So you have to mend shoes. Footprint, yeah.
It's a different footprint. You got to do everything.
Don't drive your car. Get off of the bus.
Right. But if it's just the last minute, like, oh shit type of thing, you're probably going to get caught.
You are going to get caught. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, that part I thought was weird too, that they had so much blood they had to clean up. Because like when I was in college, a lot of people used to fight. But there was never
a lot of blood.
But there was not enough blood to be cleaning up like blood spills. Like he was cleaning up blood. And like I said, the first time police went to the apartment, they actually missed the blood. But they came back with, like, a light, and they blacked out the windows and stuff. And they did find, like, the blood traces that he had, like, cleaned up. So there actually was, like, I don't know, enough blood where he felt the need to clean up. So part of me is like, okay, did y'all, like, attempted to stab her? Like, was there a fight? Or were y'all, like, trying to, like, murder her? Like, that's my whole thing. Like, did this actually play out how you thought? Or did y'all ambush the girl and try to murder? Like, did y'all try to stab her? It didn't work out, so you choke. You know what I mean? Like, we really don't. Nobody, because Alexis isn't here. Nobody knows the details except for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So once, I guess, they actually realized Alexis was dead, and they cleaned up all the blood. They then put Alexis into a bin, and they buried her in a bin. Yeah, in a bin, and they buried her in a park. And this is why I said earlier, I don't know if Jordan ever actually wanted to tell the truth, but later it actually came out that all of this had been captured on security footage. So, not, like I said, anything inside their apartment, they can make up and lie about or whatever. But them taking the bin out and getting in their car is all on security footage. Them taking them into their car, driving out, and coming back is all on security footage.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, like I said, is that Jordan Jones actually denied any part of the murder. Says she didn't know where Alexis was to the very end. Until they showed her the clips, and she was basically forced to tell the truth. Like, she was not trying to say shit until they were like, hey, honey, I'm so sorry. But, like, at 3 a.m., you took a body about your apartment. She literally was not trying to say anything. Yes.
And it's crazy, because, like, I saw people basically, and I was not one of these people. I'm just keep on sympathizing with her about, like, abusive relationships and manipulation and which, you know, hey, I'm not a monster. Those are a thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a limit. You know what I'm saying? You can't commit a whole murder and throw the body in a bin and take it out and be like, well, he manipulated me. No, ma'am. You have to be held accountable for that. Yeah. I'm sorry. You just can't. You can't do stuff like that.
It is a hard case because, like I said, Alexis is a big family. Like, watching the videos, like, really hurt me to see so many people, like mourning this young woman who was a senior in college. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think I'm not as cold-hearted, but I think I have a little, not a lot, but, like, a 0.001 empathy for, you know, people like Jordan. Because I feel like she was young, and I have never been in that type of emotional abusive relationship where someone has, like, brainwashed me. So I guess it's hard for me to comprehend, like, how she could have been brainwashed. So I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that he is, like, a, like, I don't want to say he's like a career criminal, but I don't think it is beyond him to convince someone to commit these crimes. But we can talk about, because like I get what you're saying though, because it's like the crime is like, in my opinion, when I really looked at it, it does seem premeditated. It's so egregious. If a guy sat on your bed, I don't think any man, because I never gotten this shit in college. I don't think any man, I don't think Jesus Christ could sit up on my bed and tell me murder someone. You see that episode of China, Illinois? Nobody watches this show.
No, I don't know.
Real quick, know what that is. Sidebar. There is a cartoon on Adult Swim. It's awesome. But there's an episode where Jesus comes back and he basically tells everybody to murder their parents. And nobody does it.
No, ma'am. Because
they don't trust Jesus. And he's like, I was going to give everybody riches and bring your parents. He brings everybody's parents back to life. But he's like, I was going to give you all riches. He's like, I'm gone now because y'all ain't trust me. And I just, it just basically proved to me again that I'm out. But basically,
it is what it is.
But like I said, like, I don't think Jesus himself could convince me to stab my mother to death.
No, hell no.
Exactly. So I'm like, I don't know. Because to me, it seems premeditated. So I feel like there was some convincing.
I think it seems premeditated, too. Especially him hiding in the apartment for days at a time.
Exactly. Like I
said.
That's
weird. That's bizarre.
Why? Like I said, I've been in calls and I've known some sketchy-ass people. And I feel like what really happened was that they got back to the apartment. They sat up on that bed. And he said, this was about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, we'll get to it. But that's what I think happened.
I think that's what happened, too.
Yeah. So basically, after they buried the body, Jordan and Baron went to a Halloween party.
Mm-hmm.
They literally went to turn up. So literally, with the dirt still up in their fingernails, they went to go party. And literally, like,
not the dirt in their fingernails.
They did. They still had the DNA on the blood, the chips, whatever, up on them. And they said, turn up, and drank the cheapest liquor they could find. Like, but
they grabbed their New Amsterdam,
their plastic bottles full of whatever. And of course, we know where this goes. But shortly after, both Jordan Jones and Baron Brantley were charged with the murder of Alexis Crawford. So, in a hearing on November 20th, 2019, so more details of the case were revealed. So, one of the key details that came out in this hearing was that Baron Brantley's DNA actually was found in Alexis's rape kit.
Mm-hmm.
So, he had raped Alexis Crawford.
Mm-hmm. Of course, he did.
Police also announced that they had evidence that Jordan Jones had tried to cover up the rape, because she actually reached out to Alexis's family. So she called them and tried to convince them that the rape never occurred. So before the results even came back, she called Jordan's family. She called Alexa. I keep mixing it up. She called Alexis's family and told them that there was no rape and that the DNA test that came back, that Baron's DNA was not there, and mm-hmm. told the family that. And that was a lie.
That wasn't
true. So she bold-faced lied to the family.
Mm-hmm.
She also, texts were found where she also had asked a friend to replace a plastic bin in the house. So the plastic bin that they had basically thrown her best friend out in, mm-hmm. she sent a picture to another friend prior and asked her to replace it.
Prior to the murder?
So I guess maybe prior or right after she sent, well, I guess you're right. So before it, she sent a picture to her friend
mm-hmm.
and asked her to, if she could replace the bin for her, like go get it from Walmart, Target, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So within that hearing, so Jordan Jones did actually try to receive bond, and she was denied bond because obviously the judge thought that she was trying to flee the state. Another reason of this that they thought that she was going to flee the state is because she actually did withdraw from college immediately after this,
mm-hmm.
besides just obviously like evidence tampering, like trying to replace mm-hmm. thing, lied to the parents, like stuff like that. Like she basically was more capable than what people thought she were.
Okay.
Like even after all was said and done, like I guess out of Baron's reach, she still was doing a bit on her own.
Okay.
Yeah. And in August of 2020, so Jordan Jones actually did try to get bond again, with the justification that she had helped police with the case and this was her first like criminal act, saying she wasn't dangerous. And obviously her plea was denied because, and Alexa's parents did speak at the hearing and basically beg the judge to keep her in jail. And because this is like a more recent case, like that's kind of like the end of it.
Mm.
But something to say that I kind of left out is that both of them actually like to this day plead non-guilty. So their trial date has not come up yet. And I
was just about to say that. Did they not?
Yeah. Okay. They haven't gone to trial yet. So as of right now, I think they're both like still sitting in prison. Like neither of them have posted on bail. So they're both in prison awaiting trial. Both of them actively plead non-guilty. And I mean, that's the update we have till now, because that was in August. So to this day, we literally have, I mean, it's pretty clear evidence they murdered her, but who knows how the trial will play out.
The thing with this is Baron Brantley, that's his name. Okay, cool. I understand his motive behind this, right? Like, he's a criminal, he's a rapist, he's a trash ass nigga. And that doesn't make it okay. You know what I'm saying? But I understand the motive behind this. He's a sick person. But Miss Ma'am, Miss Jordan, why the fuck would you literally throw your life away behind a nigga? And for what?
That's what I think. Like,
I don't get it. No, but for real, I don't understand it. Like, when I heard it, I was like, I don't understand. I just don't understand why she would do that.
That's what I think, like, literally happened, though. Like, I really do think, like, so, like, he was. And I hate to put these stereotypes on people.
I don't get it.
Because I feel like there are tons of people who are reformed criminals. Like, it sounds so bad. But in my mind, like, armed robbery is something that you can, like, reform from.
Yeah.
But to me, like, rape is one of those things where it's just, like, wild as fuck. Like, so it's very wild. Because I feel like the whole thing is, like, the fact that he literally tried to, like, rape her roommate, or he did rape her roommate, and then he turned around, and I feel like he really did, like, convince this girl to, I think he did, convince her to then go with the plan and murder her. But then after the fact, seeing the fact that Jordan then tried to scramble herself, it's like, I don't know if it's, like, human instinct or something that makes people believe they can convince them with their lies. I feel like I listened to enough true crime where I would know when the jig is up, like, dead ass. Like, I would know when it was up. Like,
the jig would have been up when I seen you running out the bathroom and the girl was in
there. Yes, exactly.
That's, I would have been like, no, oh, now you're wild. Like, you would have never got back in the apartment after that. What the fuck?
I say all the time, like, dead ass. Like, if I ever caught a friend who had, I'm serious. I tell people all the time, I'm not the ride or die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not it. The minute I see a body, anything, I know how this shit goes. If you didn't plan the shit, you touched it wrong, you did this, you did that, we're all going to jail. I'm really not the one. Maybe she had thought better of him or whatever. But like, a part of me, like, when I first, like I said, the part of me when I first saw, I did have empathy for Jordan Jones. Like I said, maybe 0.00001%, but I did have a little bit for it. But after I started doing the research and saw that she actively lied to her parents. Mm-hmm. Posted the photo of her missing poster, as well as asked her friend to replace the bin. Girl, no, you're not innocent. You're just as wild. Like, that's wild as fuck.
No.
That's wild as fuck. Like, yeah. I think, like, maybe it's maturity, but there's a point to realize that you've done wrong, and it's time to come forward. Like, the jig is up. Like, to try to get away with the murder of your best friend is wild as fuck. Like, I'm dead ass. Because she, like, that's wild.
If you murder someone you know, you better have a goddamn good plan.
No, you better be able to teleport, like, deadass. In 2021, yeah, you really should be able to teleport. And you better, like, shave your fingernails down. You better really cut every ounce of skin. I'm scared. Bleach yourself the night before.
You better cut your finger pads off your fingers.
You have to buy every piece of supplies separately for, like, 2 years. Don't go up in Home Depot and buy everything at the same. Like, you know what I mean? It's very, very difficult.
And even with that being said, you probably gonna have a good 15-20 years before some new technology comes out and your ass get caught anyway. Yeah,
and you're so done. Where they can, like, test the concrete for,
mm-hmm, because that's how a lot of, like, serial killers from, like, the 80s and 90s are getting caught now, because we have better technology than they did back in the day. So back in the day, we didn't have DNA evidence in the 80s or whatever. So, you know, now that we have it in 2020, 2021, all these people are getting called to justice with things that they never had to think about when they were committing these murders. So it's just not, but like I said, murderers, I don't think about stuff like that. They're just going off of what they, like, their desires and what they want to do. Same as rapists. I was having this conversation the other day. Like, quick sidebar, like, celebrities who rape people, right? And people will be like, well, why would they be a rapist? They don't have to rape anybody. And I'm like, rape is not about that.
It's not.
Right? It's about a power imbalance.
It is.
They like that power imbalance. They're not enjoying themselves unless the other person is not enjoying themselves. And that's bizarre. Because to me, if I have sex with somebody and I feel like they're not enjoying it, that's going to turn me off. Because I'm like, okay, cool. I don't want to have sex with nobody who doesn't want to have sex with me.
Exactly.
That's weird. But to them, it's the flip side. They don't want you to be enjoying yourself. They like that feeling like they have a power or a, like, a one up over somebody to do that to them. So I don't know if that's something that you can reform. I don't know if that's something that you can fix about somebody.
So
that's weird. Maybe they won't act on it, but they probably will always desire it.
Yeah, it's weird. So I do think that like people who have those type of desires, like almost the same, but really not the same for pedophiles.
I'm gonna say like pedophiles.
But they have this like desire. And I do think that it's something our country has to like work on is like reforming. Cause I feel like, like I always say, but I feel like the one thing that I really am like, I'm sorry, like we're gonna stone you to death in the town square is rape and anything dealing with children. I'm sorry. Let's stone them to death. Like that, I'm serious. That really is like where I draw the line. Like I feel like sometimes I'd be having like Taylor be like to death. And I'd be like, well, maybe.
I'm gonna say, well, you know, I don't disagree. I've said it for less.
That's where, like, I'll be the first one with my basket of stones. Like, I'll be the first one.
Not the best.
No, stop. The big ones too. I'll be the first one. But I do always, I listen to super like liberal podcasts, and they sometimes talk about like people who struggle with like pedophilia, and they make decent. I mean, they make, I guess, I don't want to say good points, but intriguing points to think about, and they kind of say things like, if we were to basically destigmatize it from the jump, like suppose you turned 14, right? And at the age of 14, you don't like 14-year-olds. You're looking at 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 3-year-olds. It wouldn't be taboo to be like, hey, like mom or whoever, this is something I'm struggling with. And we kind of like get them from the jump. Like we kind of get on it from the crack of it. You know what I mean? It's a problem you recognize you have, and it sounds bad, but like you get on a list and stuff and it's not this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't... Like
you would nip it in the bud before they had a chance to harm anybody.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't say these were great points, but I said it's something interesting to think about. A thing where, like, everybody knows... It's, like, destigmatized, right? So you're 16, and you might already be, you know, on the border of being a pedophile, but everybody knows it's not stigmatized, so everybody in the community takes a part of helping. So it's not a crazy stigma, but it's not weird if, like, I grab up my nephew. You know what I mean? When you're around. Because it's, like... It's, I don't know, like I said, I didn't say these were great points, but I say it's something I've heard and I thought was
personal. Y'all can't see my face.
I'm saying, I thought it was interesting. I'm not saying it's right, but I thought it was an interesting thing to...
But the thing with pedophiles is like, no ma'am. Like, I feel like even if you're on the, let's say you're on a list in Montana, right? Pedophiles are so, and the things I've watched, you know, same, both of us, we've watched a lot of weird, like, niche, like, documentaries.
Yeah,
like,
that's
weird,
what I'm saying,
stuff,
yeah,
like that. So I've watched documentaries about people who said, like, yeah, I'm a pedophile, or I have a desire to murder, or whatever, but I would never act on that desire. First and foremost, I don't believe you.
I don't either,
and
exactly.
Second off, I feel like even if I was to put you on a list, like, the legislation, and, like, say I'm going to put you on a list in Montana, pedophiles and murderers and rapists, they're so, like... nasty and disgusting and treacherous, they will travel across state lines to go do their weird pedophile shit. Like, what are you gonna, is everybody gonna know in the whole world? These niggas will go to a fucking Dominican Republic where they have child sex rings and go do it over there.
Yeah,
I don't think that there's really
it's like,
ew.
My whole thing is like, I guess
so I think we should just never
mind. Oh my god, I know what you're gonna say. But one of the reasons I thought was interesting is because I feel like right now, like, now that I have obviously nieces and nephews, for me it's like, I'm like, what are we doing to actively like protect our children from these like people? I guess we have like all these things that, you know, we tell our kids what to watch, what they say, and things like that. But to me, I think that like everybody takes it so personal that I feel like it's like, I think we both say it. If I thought my kid was a pedo, or I thought my kid was, I feel like pedo is like making it sound light. But if I thought my kid was a pedophile, I thought they were struggling, like they were at the point where they would be capable of murder, I think that I would have no problem, and we said it before, like getting my kid help. And even if it happens to be them getting institutionalized, I have like no shame in that, and I wouldn't be offended at all, because that's like the truth of the matter. And I feel like, I guess everyone's so scared, or they don't pay enough attention to their kids, that they don't come forward with this shit, because it's like
the Duggars.
We just let like these pedos like grow up, and it's like somebody new. You know what I mean? It's like they're shit. I don't know. Like it's just, I feel like there's
What's the joint? Finding Warhead.
That's what I'm saying. It's like
that joint was crazy.
People keep you should listen to it. Please listen to it. But
quick podcast. Finding Warhead was good. good podcast.
This basically, this guy was running this crazy ring of child abuse photos and things like that. Yeah. And every step of the way, people were coming forward saying that they had seen tendencies in this man, that he was a sexual predator. But everybody, nobody came forward because he was young. My old thing is like, I wish there was a way that, or we would, like I said, everyone's so sensitive. There should be a way that at 17, it's not a crazy thing to say, hey, son, I see you looking at pictures of 10-year-old girls. You have to go somewhere. Like, we have to get you the help you need. Because then these people go to society, and like you said, everyone's like, well, I'm not going to act on my urges. I'm not going to act on my urges. Till they do.
Till they do.
And I feel like that's a soft spot for me, because I feel like there really is no active way to really protect the kids. There really isn't. Like, we tell kids don't talk to this person, but they're kids. Where it's like asking, like, a puppy to not
And eat. A lot of the thing, like, it's like, oh, don't talk to strangers. A lot of these people are not strangers.
Exactly.
They're not strangers at all. And I guess to get back on track, this isn't even a pedophilia episode, but it's just to say that, like, you could see things in people, how you're saying, like, how could this girl, like, be capable of something like this? You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know, but I don't think any old person off the street or any person in a relationship, like, I'm in a relationship. My girlfriend could not come to me and tell me she murdered somebody and I'm going to dump the body in a van
exactly.
I would be like, I probably wouldn't pretend, because I'd be dead ass scared. Like, I'd be scared of her because I'd be like, damn, bitch, am I next?
I feel like I might,
I don't know, be like, okay, I'm going to help you. Let me go to Home Depot. But as soon as I was in the parking lot, I'd be like, 911. Like, what the fuck? Like, exactly. I'm not doing this with you.
I don't care. Like you said, to protect myself. Whoa. To protect myself, maybe I will come and put the body. But then I'm like, hey, babe, you know, I got to keep appearances. I got to go to work.
Let me go get this tarp.
I get out of cellular range off the cellular tower to our house. I'm calling 911.
Yeah.
Because it's like, people, like I said, it is, I feel this is, you know, just black people being black people. But, you know, it's one thing if you murder grandma and someone killed you. That's a whole different episode. It is. That's a whole different episode. But murdering innocent people who have nothing to do with anything, that is, like, I'm snitching.
And honestly, like, she was a victim. So it's like, how are you going to murder her when she's the one who got raped? What did she do wrong?
And that's
Your nigga was the one doing the raping.
And that's why I feel like it all kind of tumbles back to Baron. Because I'm like, what the fuck? Because it's like, it kind of showed, like I said, that's my theory. Because it's so weird that Jordan literally went, like I said, they were best friends. Mm-hmm. And when Jordan went to the hospital and sat with her there all day, that makes me think that at that moment, because she's the one who called the police, and she actually told the police before Alexis could even tell them that she had been sexually assaulted by Baron. Jordan told them in the same phone call, in the same breath, that her boyfriend had assaulted her roommate. She told them that, and then she went to the hospital with her friend. Because at first, Alexis actually refused to take the rape kit. She refused to take it. But her and Alexis her and Jordan went together and took it. Not took it together, but she went with her to take the test and, like, supported her in taking the test with her own boyfriend, you know, might be
her rapist.
Yeah. Her rapist. And she was, like, supportive of it. And I think something changed. And the fact that her boyfriend had Baron had sat in there for 4 days, something changed. Mm. Between the day she went with Alexis and the day Baron got back in the apartment, something changed.
Child.
It's wild. Like, it is.
Strike to jail.
Period.
Electric chair.
I mean, spoiler, I think they both go to jail. Like,
I think they'll both go to jail. Maybe Jordan can convince them that she wasn't as much of a part of the murder as Baron was. Yeah. She'll do jail time, but maybe not as much as her boyfriend. Or maybe she will. Maybe she'll have a trash lawyer and she won't be able to convince them that she didn't know, but yeah, I think he's definitely the murderer. Yeah. So for him to say, oh, she grabbed the plastic bag, I don't believe that at all. That doesn't mean that she's a good person or that she doesn't deserve to do jail time. But I don't believe his story. I think he was the one who murdered her and she helped him after the fact.
Yeah.
To dispose of the body and things like that. But I do think it was premeditated. And I think that he probably, like you said, for those 4 days, sat up in the room and convinced her that, oh, she's lying, and this is what we should do, and she's going to get me in trouble, she's going to ruin my life, or, you know, whatever. And I even remember at this time when it came out, I remember seeing this nigga's Instagram. Like, this
exactly,
that's how recent this
and
is.
And it was unprivate.
Yeah, it wasn't private.
Literally, it was just a random nigga. He was, like, a rapper or something, and he had, like, all these, like, weird, not weird photos, but, you know, like, staged, like, photos and stuff like that. Yeah, like,
he was just a random nigga. Exactly. Yeah, he wasn't private. He wasn't anything. And I remember pulling it up and be like, damn, like you said, you don't know people until you know them. Like, that's crazy.
No, it was wild, because I remember the day it popped off. Like, you could go, like, on Jordan's page and see the Instagram story, and you could see Baron's Instagram. And it was wild because I feel like I said, people talk. And on Twitter, like, I don't know who started it, but there was just, like, a whiff that Jordan had something to do with it. And it just set ablaze on Twitter. Because I remember everybody was, like, looking at this girl's social media before it even, like, I think the day or, what is it, whatever the weekend was when she had gone missing, everybody was literally doing their own investigative journalism and was trying to, and I feel like everyone had figured it out before even the, I feel like the police too, but I feel like before there was, like, a full, like, evidence and the body was found, like, everybody knew she had something to do with it. Yeah. Like, everybody. Like,
I'm sure everybody on campus knew.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody knew. Because the fact that she even... I feel like she texted her friend and was like, hey, give me this thing. I feel like the minute she went missing, I feel like her friend was like,
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like, you know, niggas get to talking, and you be in class on campus, and they be like, damn, you hear about...
Yeah, Alexis, you put two
you
together.
Be like, yeah, you know, but the thing is, Jordan asked me to get a bin, and I went to her house, and wasn't no more bin, and this is just getting weird. Like, shit is getting weird. So, yeah, people get to talking before the official story comes out.
That's what I think happened, because I feel like social media really leaked this whole case before it was even said and done. It was all over the internet.
That shit crazy.
It really was really crazy. Like, like revisiting it, like, my mind was blown all over again. Like, I really, to this day, like, can't believe that happened. Like, so I remember when she was missing. Like, I remember before even people were talking about Jordan, I remember when she was, like, just missing. Like, she was a missing person.
And they found the body. And the shit, like, blew up. Like, people were like, oh, who killed her? Because, like, you know, you don't find a body. They could just be, I don't know, someplace they're not supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Just missing. They could still be alive. But once they find the body, it's like...
And they went to a Halloween party, and they were just, like, living their best lives.
But the thing with is murderers and people, that's the thing about her. Like, people want to have sympathy. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a little more, like, harder or a little more cutthroat, but I'm sorry, you murder somebody and dump them in a bin and go to a Halloween party and shit. You want somebody to have sympathy with you talking about the nigga was abusing you? You had to go to the Halloween party though.
But I, like I said, but
you had to go turn up and take shots of tequila and shit.
That was my whole thing though, right? Because I'm like, when I first saw it, I felt a little teeny bit empty for. But I think as things started to unravel, it's like, honey, do you have a free will button? Like, do you have free will? Because it just gets out of control, all the missteps you made. And I hate to say it, because I feel like, oh, I feel so hard being hard on people, because, like, that's, like, Taylor's role. But it's like...
That doesn't have to be our role. This is how I feel. This isn't on a scripted show.
I know. Oh, my God. I always feel like I slip up and call Taylor.
She's like, yeah, Taylor's the fucking bitch on the show. She doesn't give a fuck.
I'm
like,
yo, say that.
These niggas be murdering people and dumping them in a bin. And Jay's like, you know,
no,
you
not have
sympathy. And, you know, we should destigmatize pedophilia. And I'm like, take them out back and shoot them in the face. And that's just how I feel.
No, but, like, okay. But I do feel like, you know what I mean? From the time you're 5, you know what you get when you murder somebody. You know what I mean? Like, you know what happens when you murder somebody. Check. So...
Don't be out here murdering niggas. Unless it was self-defense or anything crazy like that. Like I said,
it's different. No, it's so different. It's just different. Like, I hate to, like I said, I say it 1,000 times. But... Because I have, like, cousins that have gone in jail for, like, stuff. But, it's different when
me
you,
too.
Like...
Me too. Never mind.
Not saying it sounds... it sounds bad. But it's like... I feel like that's, like, the it's, like, a black thing. I feel like
not for
like,
murderers. Not murderers or anything like that.
It's an everybody thing when it's, like, when it's someone, like... It was, like, a personal thing. So, I'm like, if you're out here... I feel like if it's, like... If you out here murdering people and you get what's coming to you... Mm-hmm. That's, like, so different than, like, murdering innocent people. Like, just a person who never... Because I'm like I said...
Oh, yeah. People are involved in, like, gang violence or street violence.
Yeah.
That's the life you
retaliation is different than... Or, like, what's, like, defending someone's honor. Like, if you kill my mother... and knock on wood, I kill your mother. I feel like that's low-key different than I just showed up and killed your mom. Like,
yeah. It is different. Because if you choose to live that type of, like a lifestyle of crime, so to speak, that's something that you understand you're getting into. You hurt people, they might hurt you back, you know, but as opposed to if you say you just decide to murder a random college girl who didn't do nothing to nobody, something's wrong with you.
That's not electric chair. I mean, I know they're all, honestly, I know they're all going to jail. I think they all should go to jail. Like I said, like I had a little bit of for her, but I do think that she still has to go to jail. You're supposed to go to jail forever. You still murdered somebody. I'm sorry. But I always think it's weird people walk the streets after you murder someone. I just don't think that's something that should happen. I just don't know.
The party monster nigga just died.
I saw an overdose. Because he got, well, that's like white privilege. But he got out, like, what was it? Like 2060 something? He got out a minute ago. And there was a clip of when he like got out. And he
was in the documentary.
Yeah, you're right. He was
the movie or whatever.
Living life, drinking, having a good old, that was wild.
I feel like people don't, okay, sorry, quick sidebar, you guys.
Oh, party monsters?
They're probably like, what the fuck, the what, nigga? Okay, Party Monster is a movie about a gay man in, what was it, the 80s, who was a drug dealer and did a lot of drugs, and he ended up murdering somebody and kept the body in his house, and he ended up going to jail for murder, long story short. And then he got out like, what was it, 10-15 years later. He was young when he got out. I want to say he was like in his 40s or something.
He was,
and he got out, and that was the end of that. But that was a crazy story, because he literally kept the nigga in like his coffee table, and he was partying. First he put him in the bathtub, and then like once it didn't like, I don't know, disintegrate. Like, he didn't know what he was doing. So then he put him in like the coffee table, and then people were partying in his house saying it stank. Because there was a decaying body in his house, and he was just like, oh yeah, the pipes are fucked up or whatever. And
And then they didn't punch holes in the box or something, so it didn't sink. So the body came up and floated.
So things like that, it's like, I don't think he meant to kill the guy, but after you take it there, you literally put the body in the tub, cut it up, put it in the coffee table, party hardy for like 3 weeks after the fact, throw it in the river. I don't really have a lot of sympathy, and I think you probably should have been in prison for life, but you got
lucky. I mean, we know what happened, but
yeah. And the thing is, I feel like the moral of this story, not Party Monster, but the moral of this Alexis Crawford story is, don't be doing no crazy shit behind these niggas. Please, ma'am.
I think Bugs said.
I mean, don't rape people and don't kill people. Everybody knows that. But Ms. Ma'am, if in an alternate universe, yo nigga decides he wants to be a rapist and rape somebody, and then he comes to you with a plan and says he's going to murder her, do not become no murderer behind some dick.
Don't
do that. That's insane.
It's insane.
And you will go to prison, and you'll be looking crazy because you won't even be able to be with the niggas. Y'all both in prison.
Hip. Separate prison.
Straight to jail.
Period.
Don't do that.
But yeah, none of it's worth it.
R.I.P. Alexis. That's sad. It really didn't have to happen.
No, it's really, it didn't have really to happen sad
that way. It's so crazy.
And that is why, we're about to wrap it up, but that is why, honestly, both of them are going to jail, like, forever, because that is a senseless murder.
It's crazy.
There is no, like how they're, like, going to, like, trial soon. I don't know what the fuck their lawyers are going to try to pull out their asses, but there is nothing to pull out. Like,
there's no self-defense. There's nothing
to it. Like, you literally murdered this girl who was about to graduate and start a fulfilling life, and because your boyfriend raped her, like, she got you murdered.
He didn't want to get caught.
You assisted in the murder. Like, there, I'm sorry. There really is. Like, it is, like, I'm surprised, like, more podcasts, again, because people don't like talking about black people, but I'm surprised, like, more podcasts and crimes haven't done it, because it is one of the craziest, like, murder stories I've ever heard. Like, I'm surprised there's no Netflix documentary. Like, it is crazy. Like, it's really insane. Maybe because they're waiting for the trial, you know what I mean, for it all to play out, because, I mean, because our episode, it's not half finished, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it ends off at the case. Like, we all know that they did it, but it's not, you know, they haven't been convicted and things like that. But these are the type of people you want to punch in the fucking face. Like, why? And imagine that being, like, your daughter. The senselessness of it is just, I feel like it would be too much to bear for me. Because I'd be like, this literally did not have to happen. There's no reason. There's no anything behind it. You just wanted to be a rapist and you didn't want to get caught. But you could have went to jail for rape and I could have still had my daughter.
Exactly.
And now you're going to jail for murder. Exactly. And I don't have my daughter.
Exactly.
So you might as well have just gone to jail for rape and I could have gone on about, I mean, yeah, she would have had to have, you know, therapy and things like that, but at least she would have been alive and had her life. Like, what do you do? Woo! Oh,
so yeah, to close it, Taylor said her moral of the story. My moral of the story is, they basically, like Taylor kind of said though, anyways, is that you can end it. So basically, it could have all, Jordan could have never gone to jail, she could have never been on trial. End it when you see it. Don't cover for nobody. Don't do nothing for no man. Cover it up. Kick his ass out. And your friends come first. Like, people's safety comes first. You should have never put him back in that apartment. Mm-mm. Don't listen to nobody. Like, nothing's ever worth it. It's never worth it. It's never, ever, ever. A friend, a boyfriend, even a parent, family member. It's never worth it. It's never worth it.
Don't do that.
Don't murder for anybody. Ladies don't cover shit for anybody. It's never worth it. Period.
Just like ride or die, who? Not my girlfriend always told me, I'm like, hey, you're a ride or die? She's like, I'm not a ride or die, that's ghetto.
That's my twin, that's me too.
I'm like, you a ride or die? She's like, no girl, I won't be a ride or die, that's some ghetto shit. I ain't no ride or die. You shouldn't have been doing what you was doing. I'm gonna report your ass.
I'm gonna send you $25 once on commissary and it's gonna say
and then I'm gonna move on my life.
Like, thanks for the memories.
On that note,
thanks for the memories. Get you a honey bun for me.
We're Cognac Conspiracies at gmail.com and we're Cognac Conspiracies on Instagram. So yeah, reach out to us, give us some suggestions, and let us know what you want to hear next. We'll see you guys next week. I'm dead. Not a honey bun on me. Bye, you guys.
Bye, guys.